You're listening to Over the Trend, a bit of an impromptu special today. We were meant to be recording a podcast, but we're going to do it live for you, the Liverpool fans out there, all from London, and you Nottingham Forest fans from Brighton and Bristol today. So, who have we got today?
I'm not from London.
I'm so proud, but you're not from Liverpool. I'm so proud to say this man has watched football at a high standard. He went to Brighton with me to watch three Nottingham Forest shots and a 0-0 draw against Nottingham Forest. Brighton and Hove Albion fan Kieran Etheridge joins me today.
To put in perspective how bleak that was, for every 100 miles we drove that day, over the course of 2 days, we saw one Nottingham Forest shot.
That includes one that went out for
and
throwing.
And 16 Brighton shots. Yeah. Wait, no, it can't, that can't have been
17,
right.
I believe it was.
Yeah, it was 17 Brighton shots.
Absolute bull. It's just beautiful football. I was about to say something I couldn't say. Joining me today is someone very special in my life. I'm not the only ginger on the podcast. Ginger John from the Benedict and John Show joins me.
Benedict and John Show, what is that?
John
and Benedict's Indie Bangers. It's on actually in 2 hours' time, so you should
This is a warm-up for you.
It is, yeah. It's warming up the vocal cords and chatting about Liverpool being amazing again.
Yeah, they do look a little bit better now after that sort of make-up win against City, looking spicy. Jack Napton is also in the studio. Jack, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Dom. Thank you for this invite.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun. We're going to do Liverpool bands only tonight, just because, you know, Liverpool, in fairness, the one thing it does have over Nottingham is good music. Now, Indie Bangers, John, best band from Liverpool, discuss.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't not say the Beatles.
Yeah, but, no, it's the Beatles.
If you're looking at, so, as an indie radio show, there's a few bands out there. There's Circa Waves.
Yeah, big time.
There's Wombats.
Yeah, big time.
That's just hype, man. You say it, John.
You got Spin?
Yeah, let's go, John.
Night Cafe, pretty good.
Yeah.
What, Nottingham have Jake Bug?
We got Bug, and he supports... he doesn't even support Forest, he's a county fan. Can't think of any famous Forest musicians. We've got Stuart Broad and Rebecca Adlington.
As fans, that's good.
Lee Woods, the golfer.
Oh yeah, isn't it Lee Westwood?
Got a rapper called Randolph.
Oh, that's a bit of Randolph later. That is very much not what we usually play. let's talk about how Forest go into this game. An absolute masterclass of defensive football.
Are you going to say when the game is and what the game is?
Well, Brighton, it's called building up, man.
Come on.
So, God, what is it always like? It's an after dark.
I've got to be able to speak about something, John.
Yeah, John.
Sorry. Yeah, I apologise. I issue a formal apology to URN Sport. This is like one of my few cameos on it. And I'm just
a few cameos?
We're thinking about running the shop. I apologise.
I think I've done more sport this year than after dark so far.
Well, that's a travesty.
Right, let's move on from the after dark chat. Brighton. How do Brighton fans feel after that wonderful draw?
Brighton have fans? Sorry. Sorry,
you two, behave.
At least we're from the city that we support.
Oh, that Two-Face is the only one actually in the room who is.
Yeah, because you're not even, so.
Yeah. We're in a Celtic top, so.
Right, yeah.
Go on. This has been off topic.
It was pretty bleak, I'm not going to lie. I came out of it really feeling like it was 2 points dropped. For some reason, our players decided to pass it side to side when we needed a last minute goal. And that kind of took me back to the really early Potter days.
It felt a bit like Houghton.
Yeah, it did at times, and it wasn't very nice to witness. But taking some positives out of it, we did dominate the game, expected to. We might have got a little bit unlucky with the fact that our players can't finish. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to say...
They couldn't finish a good
day. No, we couldn't finish. And Dean Henderson did make a couple of good saves as well.
Yeah. So I want to hear what Jack and John have to think about this. Dean Henderson obviously has let in quite a few good goals recently. Have you seen the amount of goals we've been conceding? Quite a few.
Yeah.
His performance. Did you guys were lucky enough to watch Tuesday's game by any chance?
I didn't watch any of it, to be honest.
Yeah. It was
honestly.
Brilliant game. I'm so glad I travelled 6 hours there and back. Jack, did you get to watch any of it?
I didn't watch any of it, mate, no.
Oh, these guys are so unlucky.
But I did have a question for Kieran about Brighton, but we can come to that later if you
go
prefer.
Go for it. Come on, this is Warren Sports Jack Napton.
Kieran, don't claim me like that. I'm everyone. Don't limit me like that.
It's like the Village Bicycle.
Oh, wow.
Whoa!
Just for myself.
Edit! So, Kieran, obviously you lost Neil Mope, who was by no means a, you know, clinical striker, but could find, managed to, after a number of shots, usually put the ball in the back of the net a few times a season for you. Now, Danny Welbeck has been your most prolific since, you know, the Mope. I suppose he sort of challenged for him at times because they were there at the same time. But why? You've brought in Undav, but why would you not go for someone, you know, at least proven? You guys are on the up. You needed that reliable source of goals up top. Because, let's face it, I mean, Trossard gets a few. Gross and McAllister get a fair few. But none on the consistency level that you need to keep up. None even the same consistency as Mope, which is saying something. So why... I think that this is the question on a lot of people's minds. Why wouldn't Brighton go for a striker?
Well, that's a very good question. I wish I could answer. Because the fans have been crying out for about 3 years for a striker, especially considering after all of our sales over the past couple of transfer windows as well. We've made about over £100 million pounds in sales, yet we don't seem to ever spend the money. It does go into the club, which is fair enough. We're still paying off our training facilities, which, to be fair, are state-of-the-art training facilities. But I don't know, and I wish I did know, because we've been crying out for a striker for so long. If this team had a striker that could finish in it, we would be consistently pushing for like lower Europe or thereabouts. And it's so frustrating to watch a team that has a really, really good defensive record that can create chances like they're nothing. Even against big teams, we create really good chances.
We are rubbish, but we are big. Look at old squad bus, it's massive.
Yeah, true. But we, with a proven goal scorer, it would have made, we would have been pushing Europe a lot more consistently than we have been.
Totally agree. I just think De Zerbi, is it? I want to get that name right. Just didn't look like he had an identity.
It's gonna take time for him to implement his ideas. Mm. I think that's one thing that Brighton fans have got to bear in mind. He didn't have a pre-season. He's been brought in arguably a harder job than the team that's struggling, because we were doing well. Mm. And Brighton fans had, fair enough, they were higher expectations than probably were realistic. But he came in when Potter had got us into the top four at times, and he's having to inherit a squad that doesn't particularly scream out a lot of goal scorers. Whereas he did come out and say, actually, after the Forest game, that at Sassuolo he had players that knew how to score, whereas here there's not many people that do know how to score.
You look at Danny Welbeck, and you summed up fantastically leaving the ground. He's a fantastic linking player, and I was really worried about him. He looked actually quite good, and it looked like he found his level, in my opinion. He was really good at linking the plays on, heading the ball on, but just there wasn't that striker's instinct, in my opinion. Have Brighton played Liverpool yet?
Trossard.
Oh, that's a shame.
Lovely hat-trick.
You don't have to rub it in, Dom. We didn't lose.
No, in all fairness, we haven't scored a goal since that game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, there have been... Here's what I found. Yeah? Okay. There has been 59 shots since that game and a grand total of zero goals.
Forest haven't scored an open play for a long, long time. You guys nervous about facing the Forest attacking force?
Not so much the attacking force, but our defence hasn't been as concrete recently.
If you'd have asked me like a week and a half ago, I maybe would have said yes, just because I was nervous in going into every game. But after the Rangers win, which I was worried would make us overconfident, but it didn't. But the City win, and then the win against West Ham last night, because in that second half, West Ham did have quite a lot of opportunities, and we still... I'm impressed by the new commitment to even last-ditch defending when it's required, because I didn't think it was ever... We just looked like we thought we wouldn't bother with any last-ditch defending when we needed it. We just, if we can't defend it normally, then we won't go for it. But now, after those wins, I've got to say, Dom, unfortunately, not really.
There were those few moments that were like last-ditch defending, everything. Like, there was the penalty as well, which Alisson, beautiful save, but like... We've looked, there's been moments, there's been games this season where we've played really well, played a good game, and there's been that one moment where we've conceded and then drawn, Whereas last season we would have won, like, I don't know, 2-1 or something.
There's that sort of champion's instinct, if you will.
Yeah.
I know you didn't win the league, but you scored. The amount of points you receive is absolutely sensational. It's unbelievable you haven't got more titles. But you just think they had a champion's instinct and you just hold on to games longer. I just don't think that's still there. I think you guys look a bit... If I'm quite honest, you've gone on this massive 3-year project, and whilst I admit you deserve more titles, you guys have absolutely exhausted yourselves, and I just think you're coming to this sort of period where you're just a little bit, got a bit of a stitch, and you just need a year to recover. And I think you see this again with Jurgen Klopp team's seventh year syndrome, which is quite phenomenal to have 7 years in a job. Let's not forget that. I just think this year might be a consolidation year.
I get what you mean, but I think, like, the last two results have seen, like, something a bit different. There's been, like, that desire, as Jack said, has kind of returned, and it could be a push on. Mm. Maybe the Arsenal defeat was like a final, like, push on to actually become who we were last season.
I think I think the turnaround actually was the City game. I was, like I said, I was worried that, I was really hoping it would be like the spark that the players needed to go after Rangers. I was hoping that would be the spark for them to go, oh look, we actually can still, you know, play decent football. Mm. And in this new formation as well. But I was also at the same time worried that the fans would get too into that idea and shuffle so much pressure on them and then be disappointed against City. Because let's face it, we weren't expecting to win that game.
Oh, the amount of FPLs, bets, Akers, you've ruined with that result. No Haaland goal. Fair play. Fair play.
So I think Liverpool and Villa have been able to stop him.
And Forest did quite well against Villa. You guys nervous yet? But in all seriousness, you guys are looking a lot better than you were 2 weeks ago. I think what Scott McKenna is saying to Steve Cook is, help. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Help, you know I need someone. Help. This is URN.
You're listening to Over the Trent live here on University Radio Nottingham, urn1350.net. If you have anything you want to say, message in on the board. It's also going out as a podcast, so if you're listening as a podcast, cheers. We're joined by Jack, John and Kieran. We're here to talk about the big Liverpool adventure. Liverpool coming into this game, we're on a little dip of form, but as we've just discussed, coming up against Haaland sort of woke them up a bit. You guys attackingly are looking a lot better too. Salah is the...
That. Okay. We've got those two injuries recently. We've got Diaz against Arsenal. He got injured. Mm. And now Jota as well. So the backup is starting to dwindle a bit. But last night, Nunez played like...
Oh, Nunez had a sensational game last night. I actually think Fabio Carvalho's really, really impressed me over the course of the season, as has Harvey Elliott. So with this sort of new, whether it's 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-2, whatever it ends up being, those two as wide options, it benefits them because they've got a little bit of pace to them as well. But what they really, they're quite skillful players. They like to deliver across. They maybe haven't got that killer instinct in the box either. So having them two as wide options is benefiting them, I think, actually, because it's giving them playing time as well.
Yeah, I do think Fabio Carvalho is an absolute sensational. Sorry, you're just getting absolute abuse. Tell Kieran Brighton played rubbish is what the message was I've just lit up with. So, if you want to keep abuse coming to Kieran, then urn1350.net and go on the message function. But I do hear your point. Fabio Carvalho is an absolute sensational boy. Absolutely ripped up the championship.
Diaz is going to be a big loss, though.
He is, definitely. Really? He was one of our...
Diaz has been one of your best players this season.
Yeah, he's been consistently good in a team that has really, really struggled.
Yeah,
so.
And he has been one of your more creative players as well.
He has been the spark, definitely. There was a few games where he'd be like trailing or needing a goal because we were drawing. I think it was Palace. He just came to life after Nunez got sent off.
He's definitely been a very good Mane replacement.
Kieran, we talked about this on Big Monday Night In the other day, and we said with this change of system, when Salah's not through the middle, it doesn't benefit him because he's a player that likes to occupy, even when he starts on the left, likes to drift in and occupy that middle space or make a diagonal run inwards. When he starts in the middle, even though he's looked quite good now, it's a change of system. Obviously, he's got the support of a sort of second striker or a number 10 at the minute, but when we were doing a 4-3-3 without a false nine and with Nunez starting up top, Salah had to change his game. He had to stay wide, put balls in, and he started to do it fairly decently before, obviously, Nunez's red card, which set him back a little bit. But Luis Diaz is a much more... I think there's different elements to his game. I don't think the sort of cutting element is as polished as Salah's. Maybe it never will be, but he has those different elements in that he doesn't mind staying high and wide, running to the byline, putting a ball in, or then driving into the box. So I think that has benefited him, and he will be a big loss. But like I say, Carvalho, certainly last night, played a really good game.
Yeah, I do think you guys are, unfortunately, gearing up into something that could become something quite good, which is quite worrying considering you're about to have a cupcake game against Nottingham Forest. How have you guys found watching Forest this year? You guys threatened at all? Yeah? Please?
I think the atmosphere at the City Ground is a City Ground, isn't it? Yeah, the atmosphere at City Ground.
That's so low.
it's quite worrying, I think, because I was fortunate enough to go to the Forest Liverpool game last season.
Oh, thank goodness you said that, because there's been nothing fortunate about this year, but West Ham game.
Yeah, no, that was a really good atmosphere, and I feel like if they match that atmosphere, it could pile pressure on Liverpool players, especially if it gets later in the game, it's level.
Let's break down Liverpool from the base. Will you guys be starting a full team, do you think?
I think it'd be silly not to. I think there's not that much longer left before the World Cup. I think a regular thing point brought up by people talking about Liverpool is that their players actually like the busy schedule. Even though Jurgen Klopp doesn't, their players, when they play more consistently, seem to relish in it. And we are a team that thrives on their fitness as well. Definitely. We at very least can usually outlast people. So I feel like we'll start a pretty much full team. I think injuries will force us to start a pretty much full team. But for me, the sort of the ones that you might be talking about, Dom, in that, like, we could maybe start, I don't know, Nat Phillips instead of Van Dijk or something. But I think dropping players that have only just come back to form is a really, really silly decision. So
totally agree.
I would say we'll probably be similar to last night, I would imagine.
I was also surprised how early Nunez was taken off last night. It was like the 56th, 57th minute.
Yeah, after playing such a good game.
So I think he'll be starting on the weekend.
Okay.
As well, so.
Salah, do you think Forest fans will be lucky enough to see Salah this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Do you think it'd be Tsimikas or Robertson?
Ooh.
Because I don't think Robertson played. He's looked a bit up and down recently, in my opinion.
I mean, he's had injury problems as well this season. Yeah. He's had a couple of light knocks, but I think, honestly, it's maybe not Robertson being bad. It's Tsimikas genuinely stepping up his game so much.
Yeah, it must be said. I think last year, really, he shone through quite a bit in Robertson's injury. Was it at the start of the year? Really gave him an opportunity to make himself a developed part of the team. If we go over to the other side of the fullback situation, John, Trent Alexander-Arnold, he's been, bless him, he's had a tough time of it. He's suffering from Englanditis in the way. He's just getting almost bullied by the social media. Only Harry Maguire is sort of someone else who can sort of understand what he's going through. I'm not saying he's playing to Maguire's standards, but I just think the amount of expectation and what he's able to deliver, he's almost made himself such a high bar to fulfil. It's quite difficult for him, isn't it?
He's had the constant like pressure on social media, hasn't he? And he's, to be fair, this season he has definitely dropped his... dropped his performances, but I think he is again on the up again, because he scored that free kick the other week as well.
Wonderful free kick,
beautiful free kick. But I'm not sure. I think Gomez start last night, or was it?
Oh no, Trent did start. Gomez started at centre back, but at the City game, Milner started at right back, and Trent came on for the last 10.
I want to hear what you guys thought about that. That's a really interesting, bold move to put James Milner on against Man City, one of the great domestic teams of all time, in my opinion.
We've already spoken about the old 4-3-3 formation and how that benefited Salah, but it also really benefited Trent, particularly if it was Henderson or Milner starting in that right centre mid slot. Because they would happily cover Trent all day, let him push up as far as he wanted, almost let him go into the high wide spot while Salah pushes inside. Yeah. Obviously, with an out-and-out striker, Salah stays wide, and Harvey Elliott playing on the right centre mid means he's more attacking, so Trent has to find different routes to deliver those balls. And he can still do it. He can deliver from deep, no problem. But that was his first game back from injury as well. It wasn't a long injury, but it was his first game back. So I always thought he would only sort of come on in the second half. But playing James Milner there had me worried, just because up against Phil Foden, that is a massive test.
It is, isn't it?
Honestly, anybody else this season, I would have been like, yeah, it's Milner, he's professional, he's reliable and he's intelligent, he'll be able to do it. And, you know, he's lost his pace, but he's still got the fitness. But him and Gomez played an unbelievable match, and even though Foden still looked good, he sort of had to drop a little bit deeper to show any kind of characteristics, and never managed to sort of, obviously, because it finished 1-0, he never managed to find the pass to Haaland or anything. So I thought it was an intelligent move, maybe one that benefited Trent in that A, he was injured, and B, it didn't leave him open to the scrutiny that would have happened should he have sort of mismarked Foden or anyone that would have played there. But I think, to be honest, it was the right call.
Yeah, I the result proves it. 1-0, home clean sheet. You couldn't ask for anything more. I did see a very fun video of Bobby Charlton in 1999 playing along with the Manchester United boys who went on to win the treble. I know that's not a popular anecdote for you lads, but it did look a little bit like that when James Milner came on to play against Erling Haaland and Phil Foden. Let's talk about the midfield for Liverpool. What can Forest fans expect? Who do you think is coming on? Henderson maybe? Or Fabinho? I'm not up to date with all the Liverpool injuries, and it seems to be there's quite a few, but who can we expect, John? Or Jack?
Well, we spoke about Thiago going off Nunes going off earlier, and Thiago did as well. Klopp said that it's because he noticed Thiago stretching his leg while he was out on the pitch. He literally only did it once and Klopp brought him off. Probably a testament to how important Thiago has been for us these past few seasons. When he's on the pitch, we have a different level of control. He said in a post-match interview that it was a precaution and the precaution paid off because Thiago is fine. So I would expect Thiago definitely to start. I don't know who, John, you think maybe would start alongside him.
It'll probably be Thiago, Hendo and Fabinho. That's normally the trio. But then again, he started playing Elliot and Carvalho like in the middle a lot more.
What do you guys think of Harvey Elliot? He's someone who, again, has caught a lot of drama in the press. And I think Liverpool, a lot's expected of any Liverpool player. But Harvey Elliot, to you guys, what can we expect from him?
I think, so going back to last season, before he had that horror injury, he was like amazing. He was a quality player. You could see it was the season where he was going to break into the team. He was going to be a consistent name. And it's a shame that he had that injury. And I think like when he came back in this season, he's like kicked off straight from where he stopped. He's now, I think in the early bits of the season, him and Diaz were the two players that shone.
Yeah.
So like he was carrying our midfield when Hendo and Milner like couldn't keep up with the game. Harvey Elliott was doing his best as 1/6 of the middle of the field to control the game.
I think this formation switch suits him as well. I mean, sorry, Kieran, I'm blaming that on you. This formation switch suits him as well. He was playing really well as that right centre mid, as an 8. He gets forward a lot better than Henderson and Milner, but that's just the kind of player he is. He's naturally more of a 10 or a winger. This really suits him because he's not having to do any of those defensive duties. But I do feel like crediting him in that he openly admitted saying, because he was more cover in that position. He came in, out and said, I will happily play wherever the club wants me to play, but I know that the defensive elements to my game, because it's not naturally where I've played, is something I need to work on. I know they're not up to scratch yet, and I will work on it. Now, I think he does all right defensively, obviously not to the standard of Henderson and Milner. I think he did all right defensively just because of his high energy and he's pretty quick, so he can track fairly well, but he doesn't have the awareness yet, and that is worth seeing. But with this 4-2-3-1/4-4-2 where he tends to play on the right, I think that has really suited him. Parts of his character can come under question at times. He's a lot of opposition fans don't like him, but I've been quite impressed.
Sorry, Kieran is really ill, bless him. I think everyone's got...
I've already had it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Over it. See, this is the big indie bangers energy we can expect right now from John.
This is 4th year, mate. This is our 4th rodeo.
Yeah. You guys have survived COVID and now you're here.
Yeah.
Liverpool should be 3-4-0. What's your thoughts? Should there even be a chance for us in this game?
Well, if you look at our recent Prem games, we're not me blowing people away. Passing it around, getting that one goal, passing it around a bit more, looking a bit shaky, and somehow pulling through.
Yeah. I think the West Ham result really, for me, it shows a sort of change in the mentality. Whilst you got yourself up for the big Man City game, which is almost a derby, in my opinion, I know you guys are more United-based, but for me, it's a sort of Klopp Pep. It's a rivalry of the sort of mindset.
It's massive. You could see, even with the managers, going for it.
It was a proper derby. You guys really got yourself up for it. But then to go to West Ham in not a big rivalry game, midweek, the atmosphere's not there. You don't have that sort of enthusiasm
atmosphere wouldn't be there if it was away. But it was at Anfield. The atmosphere was
God,
there.
Here we go again.
Under the lights.
But you know what I mean? There's not that sort of scrutiny and that pressure and that enjoyment of such a big game. To go win there in London, for me, felt more of a...
Again, it was at Anfield. Hit.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I do get what you mean, though, because a month ago, I would have expected Liverpool to have actually drawn that game. There were the moments like the penalty and there was a late last-ditch tackle from Milner.
Yeah, on Suchek, which was incredible, yeah.
And at those moments, I feel like a month ago, that would have led to a goal or at least like another big chance or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to think maybe though, if that was, I mean, I know Thomas Souček is fairly clinical for a defensive midfielder, but you have to feel if that had been a clinical striker, that maybe even Milner's tackle wouldn't have been enough, that maybe they would have, I mean, it looked like a simple finish and the tackle was very good, but yeah, you have to feel that maybe we would have conceded there if it was anyone that was more of a forward player.
Yeah, I must apologise for getting Anfield and London mixed up. Very similar crowds.
Oh, hello. I know you've done it by accident, but we've worked that quite well for your own
satire.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. Obviously, Forest versus Liverpool, one of the 80s absolute best rivalries. So here comes one of the best songs from the 80s. It's Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
This is URN.
You're listening to University Radio Nottingham. It's Over the Trent, the Liverpool Bands special. That was The Wombats and Let's Dance to Joy Division. We're joined by two Liverpool fans in the room, John and Jack, the Jays. I can't think of another thing that links you, really. Both on your end, both after darkers.
We both play for hangovers.
Both play for hangovers. What time are your guys' shows?
I created the chance for John to score yesterday.
You did, yeah. It was beautiful. All right. Beautiful.
I'm trying to get you to have a plug here. Let's not talk about hangovers, okay?
Okay, I also played that nice outside of the boot pass to you as well.
Oh, beautiful. It was beautiful. Sounds played really well yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
In the second half, we'll ignore the first half.
Yeah. What went John's got a back heel.
Just a back heel?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Why do you sound so surprised?
Because I don't think I've ever seen a good ginger footballer.
You've seen a good ginger hockey player, though.
Yes, and I was looking in the mirror at that point. In fact,
I was waiting for that.
But yeah, hangovers is when, for people to maybe sort of join in, if you're from your end, maybe don't know what hangovers is. What is it?
It's our IMS teams. Mm-hmm. So there's three. So if you are a male, then you can play either football or hockey.
I'm sure they'd allow a woman to play football.
No, because it's a men's football league. Ah. There's a separate IMS women's football league, but we don't have a team for that. There is also an IMS and women's netball team, and also if you are female or a woman or whatever you want to call it, you can also join the hockey team because it's mixed hockey.
Whatever you want to call it. I didn't realise we had JK Rowling in the team.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's talk about Liverpool versus Nottingham Forest. Big game. Forest fans should be excited, but I think we all know the scoreline. When was the last time everyone was at the City Ground? Kieran was for 1-1 draw against Aston Villa. A wonderful occasion. Jack Napton, when was the last time you were at the City Ground?
Forest 3, QPR 1.
Oh, what a day.
Jed Spence, love a screamer.
Mm. I remember that day very clearly. We were waving to you down in the...
Oh yeah, just for context, I was sat in the QPR end with an old housemate of mine who was a QPR fan, but I kind of wanted Forest to win. So.
Yeah, it was quite an occasion. It was quite weird seeing an empty away, and I don't think we'll see one on Saturday. Out of interest for Liverpool fans, I've heard chants about hating Nottingham Forest in the past at Anfield. What's your guys' thoughts on Nottingham Forest as a club? I just want to, like, from a Liverpool perspective.
I quite like them.
I think that hatred predates us quite a long way.
Yeah. That's the thing, yeah. And I think I'm a bit biased because I went to a lot of their games last season.
What was the last game you went to?
I went to the playoff semi-final. That's the last game I went to.
What a game to go to, that emotion. It feels such a long time ago. Out of interest, I'm pretty sure that playoff team that played that night would beat the current team.
Your team, not ours,
no,
right?
Yeah.
No, they probably would. Your team doesn't seem to gel, really, has it?
No. I think this is a good time to move on to the Forest. Just haven't gelled much this year. One clean sheet on the road, one clean sheet at home. Haven't had a win since August. First time we got multiple points in a week since August. It's looking pretty rubbish. Do you guys have any hope for Forest this year staying up?
Yes.
Oh, me. Didn't expect that. Go for it.
Me and Kieran talked about this on Monday night on URN. This 6 till 7 on Monday.
Good plug there.
Thank you. We said the World Cup could not come at a better time for you, really, because that is going to have an opportunity for those new Forest players. Because as good as a lot of them are, likely none of them. likely none of them will be going to the World Cup with their nations.
Brennan Johnson, Nico Williams.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. But I mean,
Nico Williams will be coming out very quickly. So
Nico Williams. Of course, he's played for your lot. What did you guys think of him?
We really liked him.
Yeah.
Yes, but I my point was he's coming home quite quickly from the World Cup, I reckon.
Oh, right. Yeah,
it's not they think it's all Doha. Bloody hell.
Oh,
that was on earlier.
Yeah. Talking about September's football, but we're talking about Saturday's football. Really exciting game. You guys, if you want to hear the post-match review, listen to Big Monday Night In, which Kieran is now the host of. Congratulations, Kieran. We're going to have another Steve Wright sort of clap. Really clapping to the mic there. Cheers, John. What's up with you today? Why are you acting like this? It's all sport. Oh, that's a fair point. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You've got to talk like you're on Talk Sport now, aren't you? Forrest.
No, we're better than Talk Sport.
Yeah, fair point. Forrest, Kieran, looking pretty rough at the moment. Can you see any hope for us this Saturday?
No, not really.
I think the atmosphere will.
I think it'd be a lot closer than people are thinking, just because I remember last season we.
Oh, Zink just put it in the net.
Yeah, oh. The chances. I'd say
in terms of quality, the squad is better than last season's squad. But in terms of obviously the squad gelling together, it's worse because of the whole chop and change that's happened. But I think there's a chance for Forest to keep it to a fairly respectable scoreline. I think
a cricket score.
I reckon 1-2-0 is respectable. Maybe after 2, it's where it starts getting a bit. Especially considering Liverpool, as Jack and John have said, are not particularly free scoring against teams in the Premier League at the moment. I don't see it being a complete walkover, but then again, they could show up. Mo Salah could have an absolute blinder, and that is unfortunately Mo Salah up against Harry Toffoler.
I don't mind Toffoler. I think he's been quite good.
Worst case scenario, Lodi. Renan Lodi.
Who will be going to the World Cup for Brazil? How many Brazilian internationals have you guys got?
Two? Three.
Okay. Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah, three.
What, Fabinho, Allison. Yeah,
and Firmino is tipped to be going at the moment as backup for Neymar, actually.
Backup for Neymar?
Yeah, playing in that kind of 10 role.
Have you seen Neymar play?
I'm hearing he's doing all right.
I've seen
the backup for Neymar play.
Oh, that's quite
what
cool.
Firmino?
Yeah,
I saw Neymar play in 2012 at the Olympics, which is quite cool.
They won, didn't they?
They beat Egypt, on the game. Fair play. That's my little link to Neymar. Let's review the Forest back line. We're just going to assume Hendo's in goal. Steve Cook and McKenna looking better at centre back, it must be said.
It's a shame Worrell's been dropped.
Yeah, personally, I absolutely love Worrell, but I think removing him from that back four, making it a back four instead of a back five, has almost decluttered it. Everyone knows their responsibilities a bit better.
Worrell is in my Fantasy Premier League team, and I thought he would start at the weekend, and then he came on and got 1 point, and it's really done me in. Midweek, not at the weekend.
Very insightful football knowledge. I've met Joe Worrell.
So you met Worrell?
Yes.
Where?
Did you serve him at work?
I did serve him at work. Yeah. I work at Coco Zone, and towards the tail end of last season, they were... I think it was the week before their playoff semi-final.
Yeah.
At City Ground.
Yeah.
They all came in. I served.
You could tell. Worrell. They played like it.
Lolly. It was just after. It was just after they'd gone through, because I was showing Lolly where the toilets were, and I was like, "Oh, they're just up there, mate." And like, I pointed upwards, and as I was pointing upwards, I was thinking about how high his penalty went in the playoffs. I was like, more that way.
I absolutely love Joe Lolly, and it was the first time a lot of my mates actually watched a Forest game, and I've been going on for Lolly about years. Yeah, he's the next big thing. Yeah. It's the first game they watched. He played awful that game. Since been moved to Sydney squad, an absolute banger for Sydney FC, in fairness. So best of luck to Joe.
The Australian League.
Oh, come on, mate. Let's have a bit of positivity. So we agree we're probably going to have McKenna and Cook. It's a bit of a shame for Worrell being a club captain and all that, but I just think it works better. Yeah. I'm a bit worried about Cook being...
Packing out the midfield seems to be the better option.
Right back will be Nico Williams in my books, or would Serge Aurier...
Aurier start.
Serge has been solid, hasn't he?
He's better defensively than Williams. And I think Cooper's going to be going, as stupid as it is, going for the draw here, because at this point, he's got to do what Houghton did with us, which is literally just try to minimise the damage as much as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree. Left back, who have you got, Toffoler or Lodi?
Toffoler. Toffoler.
Midfield, I think it has to be Ryan Yates. He's been an absolute bastion of that midfield, taking every little bit of medical abuse Brighton and Hove Albion could dish out of him. The man literally took it like a personal Alamo.
Incredible.
Should have been sent off, yeah. I'm writing a bit for Impact at the moment, and the poetry I'm writing about Ryan Yates is something to behold. So that's a big plug for myself there. We'll give you guys a plug later. I'm getting a lot of knowing looks.
Ryan Yates. Mangala and Kouyaté would be alongside him, I reckon.
Mangala and Kouyaté. Interesting that we've gone for Kouyaté. I think you've got to play either.
I don't think you do, though, because against Liverpool, I reckon he's just going to go as defensive as he possibly can.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a striker, in fairness. I think we will see a mixture of Morgan Gibbs-White, Jono, and Lingard maybe.
No, I reckon we'll have a striker. I reckon Aouani.
Yeah, Aouani, former Liverpool player.
A bit more of a physical presence up top.
Yeah, and I think he could cause some damage, but yeah, it's not looking hopeful. But the atmosphere, Forest fans will be able to deliver. Liverpool haven't been at the City Ground in a league match since 1999.
Whose fault is that?
Well, a mixture of the EFL, a mixture of ourselves, Fawaz, just poor organisation, poor ownership and rubbish players. To be honest, Liverpool have been, you know, won European Cup since, but have you guys been promoted from League One?
What? Wait, it's two European Cups.
Two European Cups?
Yeah, because 2005.
Yeah, and 2019.
Yeah, what did I say?
One.
No, no, you said one. They've won. It was the Bristolian, that's what did it.
I'm sorry, it is. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We've been promoted from League One.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, God. Is anyone here a Forest fan, bar me? Right.
We all like them to do well, I think.
Yeah. It's been tough this year. I think the sort of optimism has sort of died out throughout the city. After the break, after Circa Waves, a very new Scouse band that I've never heard
of. They're not that new.
Are they not?
Not really.
No.
Oh, God.
They are coming to Nottingham, though, in January.
In January, yes. Yeah.
Right. After the break, we'll talk about Notts County's defeat to Colville and maybe some score prediction. Oh, but we don't do that. So it'll be our panic-o-meter. Keep listening. You're listening to Over the Trent. It's a live special in our last few minutes. Thank you so much for being with us all of today. We really do appreciate every listener, whether you're on the podcast or whether you're listening live. We really do appreciate it. Follow us on Over the Trent podcast. Pod, sorry. What, this can be the plug section. What does everyone want to plug? Let's go to John.
Mooch Live Music.
No, sorry.
I thought you... I'm sorry.
No. We'll let you listen to Mooch Live Music. Go to Mooch right now for an hour.
Okay, go.
Then go back to wherever you came from
and
start listening to URN again
in
an hour's time for John and Bennett's Indie Bangers, 9 to 11.
Bang him. Jack, what would you like to plug now?
Mooch Live Music, which I don't want to tell you not to listen to John's show, but that's it's 8 p.m. till 11 p.m.
Can they not be at Mooch financially backing it, one headphone in, listening to John and Ben's Indie Bangers?
I suppose you could do that if you wanted to.
I think that's
morally
the only thing you can do.
But also the pre-ocean show tomorrow night, 7 till 9 p.m.
Oh, who we got on?
Just me and Holly.
I thought you were going to introduce Holly like it was a big thing.
No, she's been doing it for weeks.
Yeah, but that's not been announced on Sport. You have a chance.
No, it has. I've been on like 3 sports shows now.
It's a shambles.
It's a shambles that you didn't realise that it had already been announced.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to read the text, console, which tells Kieran to go to bed. What would you... Jenny, there's a text saying
tell Kieran go home to bed.
Yeah, Kieran, what would you like to plug?
Big Monday Night In, every Monday, 6 till 7.
Is it Monday by any chance?
Yeah, surprisingly. Oh,
is it Monday night or Monday afternoon?
It's Monday morning, actually.
Is it large?
No.
Is it big?
Oh, maybe.
Cool.
It depends.
We also did a Euron Away Days podcast, which will be coming out. Euron Away Days for the most recent reel of our trip to Brighton. Really good fun. And we're going to talk a little bit, because we've just got enough time to talk about Notts County going out to Colville. The biggest shock of the FA Cup so far. Colville just down the road, but several divisions below Notts County. Kieran, do you think this could actually be a weirdly beneficial thing? You look at how busy Notts County are in the league. It's only going to be a good thing that they've got less distractions, despite this being a sort of kick in the teeth.
Yeah, I think if they stayed in the cup for a long period of time, it could have potentially damaged their league form, just because obviously the fixture congestion. And it's going to be a shame. The players are going to be kicking themselves, knowing that they could have won the game. Mm. But
2-3, absolute classic, by the way. Watching it was really good fun, actually.
But yeah. I think it's going to be a blessing in disguise at the end of the day. I think that they are going to be able to obviously fully concentrate on the league now. Mm. And they need to be honest. They need to get out of the National League.
They really do. It's so tough down there. The non-league is really financially struggling. And there's news that the Super League's coming back. Liverpool were in it. And I've only just read this. Do you guys think this is going to happen again? Or do you think we might see a repeat of last time?
I think it will inevitably happen one day, but not anytime soon, I don't think.
Not anytime soon. Liverpool fans against it, Jack?
Very much so, yeah. I think all Liverpool... I think even Liverpool sort of bar the very hierarchy right
the
at the top.
Like.
You what?
The baseball.
The baseball people, yeah. Bar the baseball people, I'm pretty sure everybody at Liverpool is against it. Klopp was against it. I spoke openly about that. Mm. Our team were against it. We were the first big
like top six team to play when it first got announced, and the Leeds players came out in the shirts that said football is for everyone. And I think, by the way it looked, I think our players wholeheartedly agree. I think Hendo spoke out about it quite vocally as well, saying this is ridiculous. So yeah, I think we're fully in alignment with pretty much everybody that actually likes football and said no, don't do that.
Totally agree. Any other thing else we can really talk about? I think that's about it. One thing I'll say is, Forest fans, let's behave ourselves. I know we think it's a big rivalry, but let's behave ourselves. It's getting a little bit frustrating, the things I've been hearing online about Liverpool fans, about Liverpool. Just think about what you're saying. I'm totally honest, I'm sick of it, and it takes Forest fans to actually say this. Let's just update our views. It's actually pathetic. Grow up. It's just not appropriate in the modern world. Football is for everyone, and it doesn't matter what you think. What's happened has happened. Just let it be. And I just, it so frustrates me what I'm hearing, and I hope there's no chance about it. It's just so immature and just pathetic, really. I'm sorry to end the show like this, but it's really been bugging me. I've been with Jack when he's heard it about Hillsborough from Forest fans, and it's just, it's nasty. There's no other way to describe it than nasty, and I really didn't want to end the show so negatively, but it has to be said. It has to be said by everyone. If you hear it at the ground, do tell a steward. It's just not appropriate. But that doesn't mean I don't love Nottingham Forest. It doesn't mean I don't want to thrash Liverpool 3-0. I've got many Liverpool fans. I'd love to rub it in their face. But if it is going to be a win, we're going to need the atmosphere behind us. And there's only one way Nottingham Forest can really do that. It's by starting with Mullican Tire. Thank you very much for listening. Keep it your end.